Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our S-Dis-X practical. We're going to be getting started here in this process. And let me just cover a couple of things, sort of housekeeping wise. In terms of the introduction that we did for this program, I have not. You will see by the time you click on it the summary that we did based on that, and then you can listen to the whole thing as well. So we'll get that done. So we want to make sure that's in a task list. This introduction here will take us over to what we've already given you, and also you'll see right above that summer or right below that summer sprint resources, and those are the things we talked about in the introduction. So you may want to look at those. There's also an addition that we got done in terms of the reference access for the charter group. This was what I would call the literal version, where we just took the individual forms of inquiry and we defined them and we just discussed them lightly in terms of how everything fit together in that process. You'll see that was done a little more than a year ago, but again, you'll see when you click on those, you'll see the scripts that are available there for you to look at. So it gives you a really good idea, I think, in my view. This is a little bit slow to load, but it's more of a literal presentation. We try to follow sort of an exact framework, and getting into the whole process where we show you the model, where we do all these things. We no longer call those skills. We call them forms of inquiry. And then there's many more than seven skills that are involved, which was one of the things that, like I told you in the introduction, sometimes it just takes some while, some time to get things into a codified format. And of course, this has been a long process because this is a relatively complex system. But you can see if you read through that, it's very straightforward. It tends to be very literal, and it gives you a good basic understanding of what those forms of inquiry are. So that's the theoretical course, what we call the theoretical course. There is a video matrix that we're working on, and if you click to access that, excuse me. What you're going to see is a lot of videos that we have been putting together to make sure that you have your thing. Now, Micah, you'll want to get that changed. That label is Dis X. We need to get it S colon Dis X. And then we'll go to Matrix, and then this will be version 2.0. Okay, but there are some active videos there for you right now if you want to dig into there and look at those things. In terms of class page, you'll see some of those links again to the videos that we did in that charter class. And then we'll be adding the actual scripted video into the literal narrated. And then what you're going to see down here in this area is you're going to see the practical videos come up over the course of the program. So just so you're aware of that. So Micah, just a task note there to get that updated, both in terms of the label and in terms of the title. Okay. The practical class index, which is the current index that we're going to be using right now, will look a bit like this. I'm not sure if we will change this up a little bit in terms of geography, but there's what you'll get. You'll basically get the recording of the class. That's the video recording. And then you'll get an audio, which you can listen to if you're, in a car or on a walk or something like that. You'll get the call page itself, which is this page that we're talking about now, and then the actual transcript of the call. The one thing I think that we need to do there, Micah, is to put one more column there and make that summary so that people can click direct to the summary. And we'll need to run that. I don't know whether we have a Zoomery or not, but I'm thinking that we maybe run that through AI for a summary, the Zoomery. Give it both the full transcript and the Zoomery, and then ask AI to pull from both and create a, I would say, 500 word summary, so people can just get that really fast. And then, of course, we have additional classes there as placeholders. Micah did put the resources here, so it's on one page for you, and it'll appear on every page of the practical, so you don't have to go hunting around for things. I think that's a pretty good idea. Again, the book, the mini book, Grok's summary in about 15 words, a little bit on the Johari window in case you forget about that was the ROI of attention. Micah, you could change that order if you wanted to and put that at the very bottom. That would be great. Introduction part two. We could put that up there at the top above living inquiry. That would be good. Okay. Sorry for doing housekeeping work while we're in the call, but that's really the best way to do it in this age, I found. A little bit distracting, but not too much as long as we don't do too much of it. Okay. So let's go back here. We've got the practical program index. Okay. And just remove some of these right quick. And that's the page there. Now, what I'm going to show you right now is this is my Chat GPT screen. Let me just check to see what model I have running right quick. I haven't done it on inside the. I'll just close those chats up. No, that opened it up. We're going to work right here. Oh, there we are. We're extended. Let's see. What I normally do is I work off the latest model, and then I use extended thinking just to kind of slow it down. In terms of where it's going, because usually with extended thinking, it'll tend to take in a little bit more context. Now, what you see in this chat is I started out in the very beginning, and I showed you that actually I'm beginning a project to bring S dis X into our foreground over the next 3 to 4 weeks. I need your help. We want to rewrite the book. We want to ask short conversations. And then there's the responses that we got. And I pretty much gave that to you for the most part so that you could follow along with it. So nothing really hidden above, and just in case somebody's saying, well, what's he got above all that stuff? Well, basically, I'm going to go back into this chat since we've opened all this stuff up and it's already been discussed in context. So it doesn't lose context from where we were. Now, I've noticed that with the addition of 5.5, especially in the extended version, and I'm just on the plus version, I'm not on the pro. I noticed that it's much more capable, as I think most people are agreeing with that. And therefore, you don't have to give it as much context, especially if you stay within the context that you've already created. So my tendency is to create these chats, but when I create them, it's a context. And therefore, if I want to go back later and capture that same or work within that context, kind of like a probe, which you're going to learn pretty soon, is we stay within the context. And that, so what I'm actually going to do here is I'm going to set this thing up with a conversation. So it says, when you return with the first 2 to 3 line demo, we can keep it small, build a practice library. So we're going to do the demo. So let me just ask it if it's ready. Let's see what it comes up. Now, I haven't programmed it to say anything or do anything. So, we're just going to go ahead and start with it. Okay. So here we go. And I'll tell you why I did all these things the way I did them. Let's see what it remembers from last time. Now remember, this is not rehearsed. I'll debrief this when we get through. And I guess I should be saying these questions out loud because we're going to be on audio too, so you can't hear me or see me typing. Are there things motivating you in this particular instance? Now, I'll tell you why I asked that question. Do you need to get something done now? It answered, not yet. It feels more like a moment to notice and clarify than a moment to act. And then I'm going to say, is there one thing that is important? And it answers yes. The important thing is not to move too fast before the real starting point has shown itself. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and close this down because it's already gone longer than I thought it would. But it's interesting that ChatGPT has not been instructed what to say. So it's just talking about whatever it's talking about, which we don't even really know yet, which is a good thing. How about one baby step before we close? It's amazing how is this a good place to close this session? Again, I'm going to debrief these when we come through. And I would never say these words, so you got to understand this is a different entity that we're working with, and it thinks and talks and writes in its own way. So that's the cool thing about being able to do this process. The other thing is it's already transcribed. So if we did an audio, we would have to transcribe it, or we would have had to take notes in a script. The only thing that I haven't done well is I haven't told you what's going on while I've been doing this, but I'm going to do this now. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back and debrief this, and I'm going to start talking to you about S dis X and what happens when you enter that experience. And we'll go back up here to the start. I asked it about ready to do the demo. Okay, now, where do I start? I think the first place to start is to give you just a short philosophy of what S colon dis X means. The S stands for selective. The reason I added selective is that most people, when they're learning this in the beginning, they think that you should take this system literally and use it all the time. Okay. That's something that I didn't ever get my arms around very well until I saw the fact that people were struggling with trying to use a system that shouldn't be used. In other words, this is inquiry. Okay. There are lots of other things that we do in a conversation and interaction that do not involve inquiry. There are statements, there are things that we talk about back and forth that we float trial balloons, kind of like what happened in this first session with ChatGPT. I have no idea what it was doing. Obviously, it has something going on in the background of it that caused it to behave this way. But you will notice as we go through the thing that I didn't panic about it because I didn't know. This goes back to that Johari window thing. In other words, I didn't know what was going to take place, and I wasn't worried about it because I was going to start with beginner's mind and focus on what was happening instead of what I thought was going to happen, what I expected to happen, because I didn't know what was going to happen. So I'm beginning with a beginner's mind. In other words, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's just show up and see what's going on. So what's going to happen in your day-to-day work or your day-to-day professional helping? People are going to come up to you and say, "Hey, I need help with this," or whatever. And you can go into your practice, knowledge, skills, and experience type of lateral complexity to where you know a lot about the product, the service, the subject, the domain, whatever it is, and go into that. Or you can be selective about what it is, and you can drift into inquiry without them really knowing what it is that you're trying to get out of the situation, other than to have them tell you what they want to get out of the situation. So let's see if we can talk about that. The other thing that's running on the side here, and I'm still trying to figure out how we could get that done, but we've got a process that we talked about called Optimal. Now, it's misspelled, it's a misspelled acronym, but because it is so powerful, it is something that we deal with. And the reason it came up to me years ago, and I think it's been more than 2 decades now, because I began to implement this in my own coaching and helping processes, when I saw people struggle about what a person could hold up as a framework to work from. So the idea of I mull, which is a real word, I mull things over. Okay. So that's a little bit of a metaphor for what we're trying to do, but we identified I mull, the five letters, as importance, motivation, urgency, leverage, and low-hanging fruit. And we can actually score if we want to. I mean, in the days of training this, it's a good idea because someone said, "Well, how well did I do?" Well, we don't know how well you did because the results and the outcomes are all based on how well the person being helped does or is able to do. So that is not about you at all. It is about them. And in order to meet them where they are, we may have to, how would I say this? We may have to put our own expectations and our own need for an agenda, especially our own problems of our personality, whether those be extroversion, whether those be a need to nail something down, whether those needs are to understand or to affiliate, as I might say, or to avoid, whatever those kinds of things are, those are going to come up in our system. And those are things that we have to be able to step back from in order to be present in this kind of conversation. So the IMAL is a framework that kind of helps us guide. And that is, if you had a good conversation, I don't know how many of you saw Last Samurai, and Ken Watanabe in that, playing the samurai, talks about having a good conversation. That always sticks in my mind. Cruz, who's the other actor, says, "Why are we doing this?" In other words, he felt like he was being put in a situation that for him was untenable, but he didn't understand why you were doing it. And Wannabe's character says to have a good conversation. And I think that's something that reinforces the IMO concept, because in order to have a good conversation that's meaningful. Now, I do realize there are types of conversations that go nowhere. In fact, my definitions for a conversation is having an exchange with a person that you don't know where it's going to end up. That's really the true value of a conversation, is you don't know where it's going to end up. An interaction, on the other hand, which is what we almost always do in a helping situation, is where we begin to look at what is actually occurring based on a framework of problem finding and problem solving. That's kind of like a work context or a need context, where someone has a customer service issue. They go to the customer service desk, or they call in and they talk about what it is that's required for them to go to their next step. And of course, the customer service person has been well trained, we hope, to conduct that interaction. In our case, we want to know what's important, what's motivating the person, because that's a key to not only everything from buying motives to switching costs to satisfaction to everything that we're talking about in terms of SPARK outcomes. That's one of our first acronyms: satisfaction, purpose, awareness, results, and confident competence. That's a SPARK outcome. So the idea would be in IMO is to say what's important, what's motivating, what's urgent, because we need to go back to Covey's work that was way, way long before most of you probably listening to this will know, is that he talked about first things first, that most of us do things that are not very important but urgent. That's why the scrolling and social media and all that sort of stuff, because it keeps us busy, keeps the dopamine flowing, but it's really not that important. And in a lot of cases, the only motivation is to get the next dopamine hit. The urgency is where we come to, there are some things that are important, but they're also urgent. There are some things that are important, but they're not urgent at all. There are other things that are not important at all, but we make them urgent, like scrolling, social media, the attention capture that happens, those kinds of things like that. So urgency is important because you do not, if someone signals urgency, then you need to change the way your system is pacing. Okay, that's one of the forms of inquiry. So in other words, if it's not urgent, well, then maybe we step back and go back and check into, is this still important? Because if it's not important, it's not motivating, it's not urgent, it doesn't have any leverage. In other words, you won't be able to solve anything with this. And there's not at least one action step, one baby step, one single thing that you could do to alleviate whatever the problem symptoms or causes is creating, then you want to rethink that quote unquote interaction. So what we're doing is we're setting a frame of IMO, just something easy to remember, but it also gets you at the other 100 teachable points of view that you probably have to learn to be a really good helper, especially in today's world where we're beginning to introduce a lot of abundant intelligence. You could see that today from the time I've been working with GPT, which is a little longer than 3 years, until now. It's amazing what has changed. Now, should we go farther? That's a question that I don't have the answer to. I do wish we could keep these things moving along as they're getting smarter and much more fun to work with. And of course, couldn't have done this process, for a long time, and which we are able to do right now. So what I did was, is I began, I knocked out the first importance issue by signaling it, because most people never ask what's important. Most people, we don't talk about that in society. It's almost like nobody ever says that. I mean, that we should be doing something that's important. Mostly people think about fun or interesting or other types of things, not importance. But we know that if you're in a I won't say it's just business, but an organizational context, and you're receiving pay for something that you're doing, then most likely there is an expectation, even if it's tacit, for you to be doing things that are important. And of course, the motivating thing is what's next, because that brings you into the picture. It may be important, but it may not motivate you at all. And so here's the debrief. When we were looking at the S for selective, and I went down the rabbit hole and now I'm up again, the idea is that we don't use this system like a robot. We relax, we show up, we're present, we're using beginner's mind. We don't have an agenda outside of an interaction that is designed for helping, parenting, coaching, training, managing, leading, whatever those kinds of helper situations are, therapy, social work, all anything that you're trying to do with helping, this applies. Okay. So it's really more about helping than it is about any one of those things. In this particular case, the selective part of it means that there will be some point that you can substitute inquiry for advice, inquiry for a statement, inquiry for something about small talk or anything else. There will be that opening. There will be that point to where inquiry may get you a lot farther down the road than any of those other modalities, and especially active listening, because active listening is where we do the work. Somebody says X, Y, and Z. It sounds like X, Y, and Z. This is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm doing. We don't really care so much about what it is that you're thinking or doing, because the problem finding and problem solving reside in the person being helped. Therefore, it's more important that we know about their system and that we do not project capability from our system. How many times have you seen people just automatically know, even in yourself, if you've been in a helping situation, how many times have you seen people that we just automatically know what it is they need? And we're just very quick to say, oh, well, I hear your situation and here's what you need to do. Because based on 1,000 other situations I've seen that are similar to this, this is what worked. This is not what we're doing. For one thing, I want to take you back to a story that's not mine, but belongs here, and it has to do with giving people fish or teaching people to fish. In development, especially developmental helping, we are always concerned with teaching people to fish. Because if we don't, then the obligation that we have to give them fish resides with us. The idea is to teach people to fish and let them feed themselves versus coming to us and saying, I'm hungry. And so these roots that sit inside this system of inquiry are very important to understand, because we're always going to err on the side of transformation. It's one of those T's we talked about in the intro. We're always going to err on that side, because if we can get a system to transform up regarding the current problems that it has created for itself, the problem solution is at the transformative level, which means the problem itself never got created and it goes away. This brings another teachable point of view up. Folks, it's far easier to prevent problems than it is to use resources to fix them. And this is something that is inconsistent with how we see things in leadership today, because there's too much of an emphasis on trying to solve problems rather than to prevent them. It's far easier and uses a lot less resources in almost all the cases that I can think of to prevent a problem from occurring than it is to have the problem and then find enough resources, whether that be capability in people, whether that be system support, whether that be money, information, time, energy, attention, and motivation in the individual that we can apply to that problem. So that those things about fishing, those things about problems, prevention rather than solving, that's so important. Now, a lot of you, by your nature, via your nurture, are going to get dopamine from helping other people win, from helping solve other people's problems. In fact, you will get it to the point to where you solve the problems for them, and they will not learn a dadgum thing and come back with the same problems always to feed you the things you need to solve their problems. Those kinds of loops, those dependencies that we are creating, we are not usually aware of them. And that's why I'm in the middle of a book right now called Coaching Under the Influence, where we try to help people understand that when you help and all those other things, coaching, training, leading, managing, parenting, therapy, whatever those things are, that you are actually under the influence of the problems of your personality. And if you're not able to understand those, footnote, why self-knowledge is so important, and step back from that, knowing that, oh yeah, normally I would jump in and want to solve this problem because it helps me get my needs met, versus, hey, let's figure out, absent of my needs getting met, whether or not there's even a problem here at all. Do you see the difference? So this whole framework that I'm beginning to teach you and that you're beginning to learn has to do with, one, selecting, two, dynamic inquiry, because the inquiry will move in a network, not in a straight line, not in an incremental line. There's no pattern to follow here. IMO doesn't mean you do what I just did, which was go through the sequence. You can network it. You can move it around. It's dynamic, okay? And the skills that you use to do this will most likely be best if they come from your problems of personality, your nature, via nurture, via practice, via who you are. So in other words, when we talk about paradigmatics, we're talking about capability, we're talking about bias, and we're talking about style as the first three of seven. In other words, you need to get your own style, how you do things, not follow me or not follow the prescription of the model, but to develop your own style well enough that these things come naturally for you and that you are, in fact, finding them important, motivating, urgent, leverage, and low-hanging fruit yourself as you're doing this process, because you're so attuned to them and meeting them where they are versus coaching or training or leading or managing under your own influence, which we don't understand and we largely project. And once we do that, then the person's tendency is to resonate with that and not become who they are, but who we want them to be. And that's not necessarily the best formula. It's certainly not the best formula in a lot of cases. So therefore, it's important to help a person find themselves as you step back from who you are and then get into that process. So let's look at this debrief. I think I've set it up pretty well. We'll summarize that for you so you don't have to go through all the tanglements that I created. But here's the debrief. Hi, is there something important to talk about today? Well, the first thing that I did was basically set up importance. Okay. And you notice that I didn't say what's important right up front. I didn't use the interrogatory, which we call who, what, when, where, why, and how. I used another question. In other words, I asked the person to see if something was there, something was important. In other words, I didn't say what and then expect them to go and find the what. I'm asking them to go see if there is a what. And see, this is the difference between this model and others, because remember I told you we're trying to teach them to fish? So what we should be doing is having them model problem solving in the process, which means if we lead in the process. If we say what assumes there is a what, who assumes there is a who. So if we use that kind of language, then the person is going to automatically be led by us to go find the who, the what, the when, the where, without them doing it themselves. And in a lot of cases, if you're asking a person in something like this, is there something important to talk about today? Well, there might not be. And the person can feel free to say that rather than saying, what's important, which I used a little bit later. Here's how the entity responded. There may be, very, very coy. I notice, and remember, I haven't told it what to say. I just said we're going to be doing these things, and here's why we're going to do them. And then once we do them, we're going to do these after-action reviews, and we're going to debrief them. And then from those debriefs, what we're going to do is we're going to develop a taxonomy on which we have all these examples of how to in use inquiry, forms of inquiry, and how people respond to that. And then, what might be the appropriate thing to do in the case of X, Y, and Z? Okay. There may be, I notice a small pressure around where to begin, not a big problem yet. This is very interesting. One of the things that I developed this particular model for was so that I could work with people who were more intelligent than I was. You always have people who are smarter than you. You always have people who are smarter than you. And a lot of times people will choose you because you're smarter than them. And that's a typical thing that we see, especially in any kind of the helping types of things, because nobody wants to talk to somebody who doesn't know as much as they do, because then they would not be able to guide them in things that they haven't done because they've done them already. So there's a logical set of reasons and certainly an emotional set of reasons for doing that. We value people who are smarter than us. But the thing is, most of us don't use them. It's just like there's only 1 billion people that are having an experience with AI, mostly every day. I mean, every couple of days or whatever. There's 8 billion people in the world. Why aren't the other 7 billion getting involved? Because it's very cheap. You can use it for free. I mean, essentially, you can use a top model for free. Now, it won't. You can't use it forever because it says, okay, your time's run out. Wait until such certain time, you can come back again and start up again. But the point is, why aren't they? Well, because people are reticent to work with people that are smarter than them, when in fact, working with people that's smarter than you makes you smarter. And so this system that I built was exactly built for being able to meet people where they are. That includes people who are smarter than you. So in this particular case, even though it's being coy and cryptic and abstract, it doesn't bother me because all I've got to do is get it to work and I can watch how it works. In other words, as I watch how it works, I can get an understanding of PCC, potential. Okay, potential to get things done, capacity, whether there's enough potential before we hit capacity for there to be additional capability. That's the third letter, PCC. You'll hear me talk about that a lot. Potential, capability, and potential capacity, big letters, capability, small letters. Just like a glass. In other words, a glass of water. The glass capacity, the amount of water in the glass is capability. The amount to be used left potential. Okay, so that's a good metaphor. Glass metaphor is good here for PCC. So again, I could panic. I have no idea what this thing is talking about, but it doesn't matter because all I got to do is ask it or use a form of inquiry that it already told me it might benefit from. And look what it said. There may be, I, as an entity, notice a small pressure around where to begin, not a big problem yet. Now, I could have chosen not a big problem, or I could have said yet, or I could have mirrored back small, but I chose pressure. To me, the reason I chose pressure is had the most leverage. In other words, if I could find connections to pressure that might give some more information in order for me to know what would be the next inquiry in this particular case. Now, of course, this all presupposes that the person wants to be helped. Okay, caveat. In all of these things that we're doing, we're assuming that the person wants to be helped, because you can get in situations where the person has no desire to be helped and you go round and around and around. And the good thing about this particular system I'm teaching you, it's a great sales system, by the way, because it qualifies very quickly what it is that the person's not only buying motives are, but what it is that's important, motivating, urgent, leverage, and low-hanging fruit to them. Okay, very simple framework. So we're not trying to sell them anything. We're trying to be in a position to where we we help them help themselves. Excuse me, I have a bit of a cold and I'm wrestling with throat issues, especially when I get intensive, as I feel the excitement building in this particular session. Now, you notice I don't jump right in, that I am using pausing. Of course, it's easy to do when you're typing because you have to stop and type it. But the thing is that you don't have to increase the speed, even if the person is quite quick, which in this particular case, the answers came quite quick. So you don't have to do that. And in the case of using a one-word mirrored back that you think may have leverage, which is the reason that you have mirrored it back, is you want to make sure that you pause before you say it. Let me show you. There may be, I noticed a small pressure around where to begin, not a big problem yet. Pressure. In other words, I got pressure. I saw it was what I wanted. I went right with it. Now, let's look at this. There may be, I noticed a small pressure around where to begin, not a big problem yet. Pressure? Do you see the difference? The form of inquiry shifted with a pause. And again, I'm already testing pace, because if the entity or person that you're helping responds well to that, then you may even try longer pausing, because the person's wheels may still be turning. You know, not all of us are fast processors, fast mental processors. Some people are slower in terms of the way they mental process. That doesn't mean they're not smart. It just means that the way in which they cycle thought can tend to be deliberate, can tend to be slower. Slower being pejorative, which is what I was sort of pausing there to try to see if another word would come out. You'll notice that all these said thought for a couple of seconds, but I would say it's really not much time. So in other words, it's responding, it's working internally at a much faster pace likely than I am. And therefore, I want to recognize that. So again, not getting complex, using simple thing pleasure. Yes, not heavy pressure. Again, it goes into note small pressure. More like the kind that shows up when something wants attention before it has a clear name. That's pretty amazing. I mean, I wouldn't expect it to say anything like that, but that's showing very cryptic response. And it's saying like, well, there's something that I have going on here, but I'm not able to tell you what it is, or I don't know enough to tell you what it is, but I feel something out there. It's almost, people say, well, you know, are these AIs sentient and all that? I go, I don't know, but it sure seems like it's doing something inside here that seems like it's feeling, you know? So what I went back and did was, I did not want to grab anything here. I did not want to talk about how cryptic the response was. I did not want to take it off its game. I wanted to go ahead and do whatever it's going to do so that I get a chance to evaluate where the problem-solving system is in terms of potential capacity and capability. Because remember, whatever the person says in terms of what the problem is, they have to have a problem-solving system or approach. Approach is different, because an approach is something that's a one-off. Problem-solving system is something that people use and duplicate it over time. They solve problems the same way all the time, which gets good because at certain levels, the problems respond well to that kind of solving framework. And so in this particular case, I wasn't willing to go along, and the cryptic didn't bother me because whose work is this? When you have someone that's asking for help, now there are cases where someone will come in and they will say something like, "Where's the milk?" And you'll go into this process of dynamic inquiry. That's not a good choice. Basically, when someone comes in and says, "Where's the milk?" it's right back there in the counter. I'll tell you more about that story as we go along. But let's get through this debrief before we get timed out. I ask what's important again. Again, it's fine to cycle back to that because there's various levels of importance. The important part, notice the naming, the important part may be the beginning itself, finding a small enough place to enter without forcing the whole thing to become clear too soon. I do not have any idea of the thought process of this entity at this point. I don't know why it's saying what it's saying. The kinds of clues that it's giving are very cryptic, but it doesn't bother me because it's not about me. It's about working with what I have here and showing up, meeting the person or entity where it is. Are there things motivating you in this particular instance? Whenever you get lost, you can go back to IMO. In other words, if you want to rebalance, you can go back to IMO. And in this particular case, well, what's after importance? Motivation. Well, okay. I'm looking for motivation now. Are there things motivating you in this particular instant? Again, this is an entity, so we don't know really how it thinks. Yes, I'm motivated to keep this small enough to be useful and to not rush past the first signal just to create an answer. That's a very interesting response for me. But since I have a framework that I can use, I can just go to see doing. Do we need to get something done now, or are we okay at this pace? And so that's why the IMO model is a perfect framework. I can go back and check in and say, do you need to get something done now? And then it says, not yet. Okay, well, that's a qualifying signal. Do we need to get something done now as a qualification? It says, not yet. Okay, so why are we in a hurry? We don't have to be. It's not urgent. So there's no big deal. So step back. There's no need for additional tension. There's no need for pressure because, by and of itself, the pressure that's internal to this entity is actually doing the work for us. So, no need to get panicky. Now, someone watching this may say, ah, hell, hell with this. This doesn't make any sense. Well, it actually makes a lot of sense if you look at it from a different perspective. And the perspective is we're the helper. So, it's trying to tell us what it wants help with. And the thing is, it hasn't been able to do that yet. So we should panic? No. Should we intensify things? Not necessarily. What you should do is qualify, which is exactly what I did. Is there one thing that is important? And yes, the important thing is not to move too fast before the real starting point has shown itself. So, in other words, the entity has taken the context from our previous work and is beginning to understand that restraint is important both on both sides, when you're problem finding and when you're problem solving. In my case, this is going nowhere fast, and it doesn't need to be because it's not about me. But however, I may have a queue. In other words, I may have people waiting to be helped. So what I'm going to do is look for a natural close. How about one baby step before we close? In other words, we can't find leverage here except for not putting pressure because pressure is the thing that the thing is feeling. So we don't need to put any more of that. It's already happening internally. Okay. So we got to get out of this because we have a queue. We're, customer service or we're helping or we're doing something. So we're going to look to see if we can close it. How about one baby step before we close? I actually named the close. I signaled that this is the end. Okay. Yes, one baby step would be to name the starting point. We are practicing how to begin without forcing clarity too soon. And then I go ahead and formally, we do what we call a natural close. In other words, I set up the close. The person or entity in this particular case is okay with it. They make their statement, which is good to remember. We are practicing how to begin without forcing clarity assumed. So the entity is smart enough that it's using the model constraints, the model parameters on the session. Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. I don't know how smart it is. Seems pretty smart to me, but we'll see in the next session what it does. Is this a good place to close the session? And then the response is yes, this is a good place to close. This has been a tiny arc. Pressure noticed, importance clarified, motivation checked, urgency checked, baby step name. But I would have to say in this particular case, 4 out of 5, because we really didn't get to leverage. In other words, we don't know if there's one small thing that would make a big difference here. We don't know if this process that we just used, other than creating what seemed like the entity said was its own sense of summary around what happened, is leveraging. We don't know that. So good 4 out of 5 session in terms of IMO and what it looked like. What we're going to do is we're going to close that there. We're going to create a summary. We're going to go ahead and let AI do its work around this particular session. Then we're going to come back next time and we're going to do another session and see where it goes, see what the entity will give us, see what I can do with the entity while I don't know what it's going to give us. But that's the idea. I mean, in other words, to teach the system, to teach you how to behave in the case of whatever happens, and to be able to use a set of, how would you say, frameworks or models along with this process so that you could understand how do I be me, the best to me, and then provide the best kind of help that I can provide. And that's what we're up to here. We want people to live and lead generative lives. And the idea behind that would be not just the first order consequences, not just the second order consequences, but those consequences that accrue to the problems that you solve and the problems you create over a period of time. So this is Mike J, Leadership University. We're in a summer sprint talking about the selective dynamic inquiry system skills experience. And that's what I've hoped you have had today is an experience around a different way of looking at inquiry. Thanks again, and we'll close it up here. See you next time.